Hello again, it's Jim Storer here for another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. We're here with one of our favorite community managers, Hillary Boucher from the CR Network.
Hello, Jim.
Hillary, we are so excited to have you with us today. I would love if you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about the community you work with and the kind of community practitioners you manage.
Sure. Great to be here. I am the community manager of the CR Network. For those of you who are not familiar, it is a private community of practice for community practitioners. So yes, I am the community manager of community managers. It keeps it very exciting. And what I do is ultimately my job is to make sure all of our members are receiving value from their membership. So that includes engagement, programming, and building relationships with our members and making sure they're being connected to the resources that they need to do great work.
So let's get started by talking about this platform migration you just went through. I know it's something that we wrestled with for quite a long time and eventually pulled the trigger, but you really are the point person on this. Can you share some of best practices, advice, things you learned, things you'd do differently from the whole migration from one platform to another?
Sure, yeah, because the migration, as it turned out, is a thorny big project for sure and took up a lot of my time, but it's exciting to move forward and have a new shiny platform at the end. I mean, when I look back and think about what I would pass on for other practitioners who are thinking about or about to go through the process is start out by thinking about who are the various stakeholders who you're going to need to make this migration a success. And I would think about it in terms of who you are going to need from your community side, because you're going to need your community members in terms of beta testing, running by design elements. You might do some quick surveys at the beginning to understand what you're looking for in a new tool. So who are those community members who will be ideal collaborators for the project? And then who on your own team are you going to need? One example, like what skill sets do you not have that are going to be needed for the migration that you're going to need help with? And who from your team can you pull in and also collaborate on? The other thing is when you're creating your project plan, give yourself buffer time. Things take a little bit longer. You can never quite know what's going to go wrong or take longer than you thought. But saying that, giving yourself that time in your project plan, I would also say push hard early. And, you know, Jim, this is something you said to me at the very beginning, and looking back, it was so true, and I definitely didn't see the wisdom in it at the beginning. Is, you know, towards the end, your deadline looms, and you need to push, push, push. And there are definitely things, you know, the sooner you can start pushing and putting your head down, the better off you'll be when you're facing that launch deadline. And then,
yeah.
I guess my...
Well, I was just going to say, I remember, you know, we launched in October, but I remember back during those summer months when, you know, we were kind of footloose and fancy free, and, you know, there yeah. definitely, I could feel it looming, and it was coming, and it just, we didn't realize, maybe all of us didn't realize how much work was going to come, but eventually it's like a, you know, it's like a big wave and it just hits you.
Right, right. And, you know, the other thing I'd say, make sure you don't overlook is a well-thought-out communication plan for your members. This is a big change for them. You don't want to potentially lose folks in the migration or lose their attention or have them be confused. So thinking through how you'll get your members on board and warmed up to the idea. For example, I was working in comments about the migration to my regular community communications as a way to just have members internalize that change was coming, change was happening. So really think through how you're going to communicate with folks.
You know, if I could follow on with that, I think one of the things that you did really well, which was pretty unique, I think, to what we did, was establishing those quests. So certainly everything leading up to the launch of the new platform was important. But I thought the way you developed quests, and maybe you can go into that into a little more depth and give folks that are listening
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll tell you what happened. So this is the first time that I had run a beta period on a community. So I went digging around to see how other people approached it. And one of the things I noticed was the other examples that I came across were people, handing out spreadsheets and having people respond with their beta feedback in these spreadsheets. And I thought, this is a community. We have a community. We're expecting engagement. Why not use the community to engage? So I want the feedback right inside the community. And then, how would I structure that? And so what I did was I set up those tasks that traditionally would be on a spreadsheet or whatever, and I started a thread for each of them, and I labeled them as quests. And, you put a little fun, clever spin on it where the community roundtable, so I had it like we were knights going on a quest. And just to make it, we're asking as much as our members love taking a new community for a spin, you are essentially asking them to help you out. And so anything you can do to make it a little bit more fun, add a little bit of structure so folks, know where they're going. And it also made it a lot easier for us to collect that feedback because it was all consolidated in those threads. Another thing that happened because of that is people built off of each other. So you could see people saying, yes, I agree with that person that this is an issue, or someone else, there might be one person who says it, but five other people don't, and that's not a big issue in the end.
So now that you're on the other side of the platform migration, is there anything that you wish you had done differently?
Listen to Jim about pushing harder that summer. I think I would have planned out some of the communications. Like, so for example, you couldn't like set up email templates, because we didn't have the platform stood up at that point. I could have certainly had more copy and more communications prepared so that when we were hitting that launch week, I could have been pulling from those archives and then just tweaking them and editing them and uploading stuff instead of, being in content creation mode near the launch date.
It's interesting. I think that's really good advice, whether you're migrating or launching for the first time. So a lot of times when we're talking with clients about launching a new community, they feel like they need to wait and they need to, once they get the platform, they can start creating. And I think, grab a notebook, start writing blog posts, right? It's a lot easier to create before you've got the platform and then just, copy and paste or, transcribe and put it in there than it is to be creative on the spot once you have a platform.
I do. I think that's great advice for anyone launching anything or just planning any kind of content calendar, that it's never too early to start writing. Well, pro tip for everyone. Hillary, a big part of the work you do is member onboarding. You train and mentor community management fellows. Can you share some best practices for any community professionals that might be mentoring someone new to community management?
Sure. Well, in specific to bringing on a new community manager, what I would say is to make sure you're balancing their workload with an interesting, like an intriguing project. One thing that I think a lot of people are surprised by is community management can be very heavy on the admin side. You see the community manager commenting and being very social, but behind that, there's a lot of administrative tasks that go into it, and that can lead to burnout. And so one of the things I do is I try to figure out for this person and work with them to figure out what would be a project that would be both useful, obviously useful to the community and add value to the community, but would be something that would get them excited and utilize the creative powers that keep them enthusiastic and inspired. So always make sure you have that balanced workload when you're bringing someone on and training them. Another thing I would suggest is make sure you're keeping those lines of communication open and encouraging working out loud. That's something we do on our team. And what it does is we'll have different style of working, and it can take some getting used to. And so what it does, though, is when someone is used to sharing what they're working on and you share your ideas that might be half-baked, you're in process, you can get feedback from your mentor before you've spent a ton of hours on it. And you can, and the mentor can help shape it before it gets the final form. And so you're saving a lot of time and resources from your team, and you're presented with a lot of opportunities for micro mentoring. So mentoring in small bits and pieces versus, you know, a formal mentoring session.
So Hillary, one of the questions we love to ask everyone, and you've heard this before, and I'm pretty sure you've got a great answer for it, but what's your community superpower?
Yeah, that is a good one. And you know what, guys, I'm thinking of like evolving my superpower because I would say my superpower that I've been using for a little while is adaptability. I can move in and out of different situations, different social circles. I really like learning about new people. And so being able to work with and learn from and engage with different types of people works to my advantage as a community manager. But I don't know. I think that answer's getting old. I think I got to work on a new superpower, or I've accomplished that superpower and looking to add a new one to my repertoire.
That's great. I love the idea that your superpower is evolving as you evolve as a community manager. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it. I know you've got a lot going on, and it's right before the holidays as we're recording this, so I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Hillary.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.